Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. I'm Paisley Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. This week we'll be joined by Tara, and not her real name, who has been having a virtual affair with a married man. I don't want to tell our listeners how long we just spent coming up with a fake name.
And how in the end we just Googled woman's name. That's how we got to Tara, everybody.
Classic us. So I wanted to ask you something. I don't know if this is a bit weird, but my friend, she listens to this, don't worry, I'm not going to reveal all your secrets. She's just started, kind of gone on a few dates with someone, and we were talking about like messages, and she got one from him. And then it reminded me of a message I've had with someone before that, should we say, that use the word dalliance with.
Ooh.
And then I thought, is it weird that I keep screenshots of these messages from people?
Oh, what are the message? What kind of content are the messages?
So it's like when either something's gone wrong. So when it's the dalliance. I need to stop using the word.
No, I love it. You did say you were a Victorian earlier, and this makes sense.
Even when that's coming to an end. So basically, like, it's basically the thing that I keep is their excuses.
Oh, what, for ending it, or?
Yeah, or for it just not going anywhere, or if they, the one before they ghost. I just think it's quite interesting to refer back to, because you start to notice patterns. I realised I'm like that meme, you know, of the guy with all the, like, the stuff on the court board, and he's like, there's a pattern. But you just start to notice, like, themes. So it's not as creepy as it sounds. I feel like you think it's creepy.
No.
But it's basically, I guess, kind of any excuses they've given that, you know, sometimes you just want to go back over them and be like, oh, just further analyse them, as if you haven't analysed them enough. The
to death.
You know, it's been 2 years, but let's have a reread of that message.
Let's open that wound.
But then you start to notice, like, patterns. Anyway, something that he said, I was like, hang on a minute. It, like, set off this light bulb in my head. I was like, let me find that screenshot. That was, like, me being, like, a computer.
Oh, I thought you were scrolling through. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, you start to notice. And I'm just saying, I think a red flag is any guy that says he's a bit messed up at the moment.
Oh, yes.
Because that does seem to be a common one. But I just think perhaps saving your WhatsApp screenshots just for your personal use is quite handy to refer back to.
I think it's good as well, because often with, like, when you end something with someone and then a few, you know, months later, you might start to question, oh, actually, were things really good? And you kind of misremember. And so you can go back and remind yourself, no, actually, they said they were messed up. That was a major red flag.
Exactly. And also, it's like you have the benefit of, is that the benefit of hindsight?
Yeah.
So you go back on things. Like, there's messages I've got before, and I remember getting them at the time and thinking, like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, he likes me. It just needs a bit of warming up. You know, it's fine. And then when I read it now, I'm like, you idiot.
How did you not see it?
Yeah, it's like crystal clear. So, but yeah, I'd really recommend it. And also your replies, because that shows you how you've kind of grown as a person.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Laura. So do you just keep them in your camera roll then, these screenshots?
Yeah.
like a graveyard of your dalliances.
Although I just thought they're all in the cloud now. Oh God, no. Don't hack me. But yeah, they're just like, I don't have a folder or anything that weird. They're just in my like screenshots and just, you know, if it's a Sunday and I'm feeling sad, or if I just want to have a, you know, if I just want to analyze something, or it's good for comparisons with current real world situations.
Yeah, I absolutely love this. I have no memory of like anything basically, and I always ask my best friend Megan, like, can you tell me why I broke up with him? And she'll have to remind me because I can never remember. And I'm like, well, it would be good if I had a bank of screenshots instead of having to ask her.
Exactly. And it's so true what you said about how you misremember things, or like the rose tinted glasses, because then you can look back with some people say, if you've had repeat dalliances, and you can look back and you'll be like, this has been going on since like 2017. Definitely. Stop it.
It's so important to like look back on your former relationships or dating or whatever and like analyze it and kind of learn from it. Do you know what? You saying rose-tinted glasses just reminded me. I interviewed a therapist the other day, Dr. Meg John Barker, and they are like an academic. And we were talking about how when you first meet someone and you get like your biology takes over and all your hormones are rushing in and you're like, I fancy them so much. And they said to me, those hormones completely like shut down any of your survival instincts. And they said, when you're wearing rose-tinted glasses, red flags just look like bunting. And I have been telling everybody that. I was at a party on Friday night. I whapped that out. Everyone's like, yeah, oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah, because you just are like, no, like you dismiss everything, don't you?
We were saying they could literally be like, I don't really want to hang out with you. And you'll be like, yeah, but they do. They're just saying that. It's like, no, they literally showed their true colours.
I love that bunting thing. And also just anything where like, you know, down the line, it really annoys you. But at the time you're like, oh, it's like, it's really cute that they don't wash their beds.
They only have one pillow and a single duvet. It's really cute. It's quite edgy.
He's just so like, he just shuns like everyone else. He doesn't wear underwear. Like, love that.
So different.
Although, no shade if you choose to go underwearless.
It's just not your vibe, is it, Elsa?
But yeah, maybe start saving your screenshots.
Definitely. I love that.
Maybe we can ask Tara if she saves her screenshots.
That's a great shout. Yeah.
Although maybe not the best idea if the other person, the other person is married.
Oh, darling. And what about the other person?
I'm going to ask Tara that though.
Okay, let's bring her on.
We're joined today by Tara, who has been having a virtual affair with a married man since the end of last year. Welcome, Tara.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, I'm excited because you have... this story, we can say the story's been on the website, can't we?
Yes.
A portion of it. So I know you've spoken to Paisley, but I haven't spoken to you. And I'm far more nosy than Paisley is.
She's got no social boundaries. She'll just ask anything. No, I'm joking. So for people who haven't read Tara's piece, which is on the Cosmo website, would you mind telling us, like, how and when did you come to meet this man, and like what was going on in your life at the time, and like how did it come to be?
Sure.
Big questions. You got 10 in one there.
That's great. Dive right in. So I was in New York doing my undergraduate degree at the time, and I actually think it was a weekend because I remember I was sleeping till some like absolutely ridiculous time, like 3 p.m. or something. Ooh. And my mother of all people called me. She was visiting New York to come and see me and see how I was getting on and just enjoy the city. So she gave me a call, and her exact words were, "You need to get up, get dressed, get pretty, and get over here." And I was like, okay. So yeah, I did exactly what she said. I was like, okay, that's really strange. And she hung up on me. I was like, okay, that's lovely. She was like, that's all you need to know. Just get over here. So I did as she asked because I'm good like that. And I came to the hotel where she was staying, and I walked in. And I just remember looking at the bar, and she was drinking a coffee and she was sat next to this guy. And I was like, okay, I really hope that's the reason she called me. So
has your mum done this before? Sorry.
I don't think so, actually. My mum has never set me up with anybody before. So I thought, well, she must think that this is a really great call for her to just be like, right, this is happening. So
yeah.
She was right. I've got to hand it to her. I went over there and I hit it off with this guy straight away. And basically they were staying in the same hotel and they just met at the hotel bar, which at the time it was a coffee bar, but it transitions to like a proper adults alcoholic bar later on. So we sat down and we started having coffee, and then that became Irish coffee, and then that became wine, and then that became whiskey. And we just...
Is your mum still there in this scenario? Like, I'm a three-way date?
She is there. She was there the whole time. It was...
Mum!
Yeah, I know.
So smug as well. I can just imagine her sipping her coffee in the background. Like,
yeah, I don't know if you've ever met my mum, but you've completely nailed it. She was looking like very not subtly sort of like leaning behind him with her coffee cup and her little pinky finger in the air going, like, told you. And I was like, yeah, all right, calm down.
All right.
So,
do you know what your mum had said to him to be like, oh, I need to get my daughter here? Had she said, like, I think you'll really like her?
Yeah, I think she was quite slick about it, because at the time, this guy was a writer and I'm a writer as well. So she had said, oh, you know, my daughter's a writer, blah, blah, blah. Because I think he was in town for some sort of like writing adjacent reason. And she said, oh, that's really interesting. You know, like, you should meet my daughter. She's, you know, she's at school here and she's a writer. She'd love to meet you. So she wasn't too obvious about it. And then she called me and then I turned up. And then, because I think one of the first things he said to me was like, oh, like, it's so nice to meet you. I've just been chatting to your mum. She's so charming. She tells me you're a writer. Like, it's really nice to meet you. So it was all quite slick.
I love that. She's smooth AF.
She is. She's got like way more game than I have. So, like, why didn't she pass that down in the genetics?
Also, we haven't found out how she first started talking to him. Like, did she approach him? Would love to know.
I think he sat down next to her, or like he politely did that thing that people do where they like leave one space between you so it's not weird. But then I think he just may have said something. I think he overheard her talking to the bartender, and he did that typical thing like, oh, are you from England? So they kind of got chatting and it started.
Why can
that.
I imagine, I have never met your mum, but I can imagine her like patting the seat next to her being like, come on.
She probably would have done that. She probably eventually would have been like, oh, do you want to just scooch over and chat to me? Like the little black really widow cute. That she is.
So that. What happened after that first meeting? So it went on till quite late.
Was it 30?
It was pretty late, and the later it got, the more, like, my mum is really smart about this kind of stuff. Like, she's very good at introducing people and then really casually slipping out of the situation.
Who is your mum? She is like M from James Bond.
Yeah, she definitely could be, you know, in a James Bond film. She, you know what, I don't know if they've ever had this character, because I've never read like any of the Bond novels or any of that sort of thing. But if there's a character who's like this sexy, kind of super slick, like, woman who mentors like the younger, you know, female spies who are coming in and learning their seduction techniques, that would be my mom. I could totally see that for her. But yeah, so she, like, after she introduced us, she was like, oh, why don't you switch seats with me? So we were sat next to each other, and then she started talking to some other random, like, she just is so good at talking to strangers.
Work
so
in that room.
Yeah, so she just like segued off into another conversation. So we were talking, and then this is not, you know, a very empowering thing to admit, but my one thought at the time was, this guy is so far out of my league. Like, how am I punching? This is absurd. So I was like, is he flirting with me? Is he just being polite? I don't really know. Can't really tell. So the way we left it off was like, he was like, oh, do you want my number? And I was like, yes. But I was like, is that to be polite? Has he given me like a number with one wrong digit? We may never know. I left it off feeling kind of flirty, but also a bit like, oh, I don't know what's going on here.
Why did you think he was out of your league? What was that about?
Oh, it's... not to like perpetuate gender stereotypes, because like, fuck that. But he, at the time, I was probably in my first or second year of university, and he was just so much more a man than anyone that I was at school with. And it was just so, like, he was wearing a three-piece suit with, like, purple accents and pinstripes. And he had, you know,
that, like, sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. But he was, like, carrying it off really well. Like, it didn't seem pompous. He seemed super relaxed and comfortable in his skin. And he was wearing this amazing watch. And he just, the way he was talking, he just sounded really worldly and educated. And he just seemed not like anyone that I'd met previously. And I was just like, oh, we're in very different life stages. And, like, I don't know if I can keep up with this person.
Yeah.
So I just had that really sort of, like, overwhelming sense of this person has experienced so much in their life and they're so much further ahead than I am in their life journey, as kind of cliche in alternative spirituality as that sounds.
And what's the age gap between you?
It's not that much, actually. It's only 5 years.
Okay, cool. And are you in your 20s?
I am, yeah, late 20s.
Okay. Oh, all right for some. sorry, Laurie.
So after that first meeting, did you meet up again? What kind of went from there?
Yeah, so I had, so he gave me his number and I texted to just say, oh, this is my number as well. And then he texted me and I was like, oh, okay, interesting. So we texted back and forth for a bit. And then he was traveling a lot, I remember, at the time, like from coast to coast. So we would talk quite a bit and he'd be telling me, like, oh, you know, I'm like driving across country, I'm like going to LA, I'm going here, I'm going there. And he was going abroad too, I think, at the time. So we didn't meet up for a while, but then he texted me and was like, oh, I'm in town, like, do you want to get some drinks? And I was like, yeah, sure. So we went out for drinks and it was kind of the same as when I met him the first time, but the flirtation seemed just like it had been dialed up a notch. And I was like, okay, well, even for me, like Miss Oblivious, this is pretty unmistakable. So there was like definite like flirting and stuff, but it was quite playful. Like, that's what I liked about it at the start, because it wasn't awkward and it wasn't overly sexual either. It was sexually suggestive without being explicit, which I really like. So it was just really flirtatious and fun. And then we kind of left it on a, oh, like we should definitely meet up another time. You know, I know that, you know, we've got to like go our separate ways for now, but we should definitely like plan something in the future. And it had a very suggestive note. So that was the next kind of meeting.
And when did you know that he was married? Sorry.
Not for a very long time afterwards. I had no idea at this point. And this was, oh gosh, I can't even think of the dates, but this would have been years ago now. And I didn't know he was married until last year.
Okay. But he was married at the time, but just hadn't said.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good point. I think there was a brief period where we met where he wasn't married, but they must have been together. But then he got married not that long after we met, I think.
Okay. So was he actively lying about being single, or did it just not come up, if that makes sense?
I think weirdly it just never came up. Like, I don't think I ever outright said, oh, are you seeing anyone? Because
assume.
That's a weird thing, isn't it? Like, but I don't think I would have ever asked him, like, by the way, are you single? It just would have never occurred to me. Like, the way that we met and everything was kind of weird, but then the way our relationship developed was so organic, it just wasn't something I ever thought about.
And I'm guessing he didn't have a wedding ring or
no. I definitely would have noticed that, but I never knew anything about that at the time, and it was only like last year that he told me, because then I did ask outright.
Okay, so how did you go from, you know, going for a few drinks, meeting up a few times, to being more in contact?
So we basically kept in touch mostly by text, actually, while I was still in New York. And he was kind of in and out of town. And I was also, I think probably like after the first drinks date, somewhere after that point, I was sexually assaulted. And it just, I don't think I really recognized this at the time, but I was very much like, I don't particularly want to deal with anybody that I find, like, intimidating's not 100% the right word, but I do think that, like, being around him, I felt very much like in a submissive position because of that sense of like, oh, this person is older than me, they're in a different life position than me, they're really worldly, like, they know so much, they've experienced so much, all of that kind of thing. So I any kind of like male energy that felt intimidating, even if it was previously in a good way, I just didn't really want to have anything to do with it at the time. So he continued to ask me out, like he asked me out, you know, for dinner. He asked me actually to get celebratory cocktails on the day of my graduation. And every time I actually said no, I was like, no. And I, at the time I was like, why am I saying no? I obviously like this person, but I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Because it just freaked me out. So we didn't meet up in person for the, probably the rest of the time I was in New York. So we would just stay in touch via text. And then after graduation, I moved back to the UK, back home. And we called a couple of times and then, you know, nothing came of it, just sort of fizzled out. And then at the end of last year, 2019, he called me completely out of the blue through Facebook Messenger. Like he tracked me down on Facebook.
Obviously, so if you can ring someone on Facebook, ugh.
Yeah, ugh, just, yeah, no. I saw that and I was like, oh no, absolutely not. No. But yeah, so he found me on Facebook because my phone number had changed. Like I'd retired my American phone number. So he found me on Facebook and called me through Messenger. And at first I literally thought it was a butt dial because we hadn't spoken for so long. So I didn't answer the phone. I was just like, nope, must be wrong. And then I think probably a couple of days later, he called me again. And I was like, did you, and I answered and I was like, did you mean to call me? And he was like, yeah, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, I just haven't, we haven't spoken in ages. And he was really apologetic and he told me all this stuff like, oh, I, you know, I've been thinking about you this whole time and I really regret that we never made a go of it. And I was like, what even precipitated you calling me? And it turned out that he had like read something of mine that I had published and he found it really moving and he wanted to reach out and talk to me again. And he was just telling me like, oh, I just really want to reconnect with you. Like, I really miss you. I've been thinking about you this whole time and all of that. So it was quite an intense chat. And then that's basically how it started back up again last year. And ever since then, it's been like, then we switched to WhatsApp and he would call me like not so much at the beginning, but then the calls kind of got more regular and they got longer. And every time we're on the phone, it's always like hours. There was actually one time that we were on the phone for 6 hours and 46 minutes.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
That your is phone nuts. Bill.
Well, if it's over Facebook Messenger, you know, Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
So when he did get back in touch, were you thinking, oh, actually, yeah, I have been thinking about you all this time too? Or was it kind of like a bat out of hell? An emotional like bat out of hell. And yeah. You'd like that one,
Meatloaf,
Elsie.
Over there.
Love a bit of meatloaf. Yeah, it was definitely, I mean, in my mind, he was kind of one of the things in my life that was left unfinished. So I don't love that. I don't like unfinished business. So I was pretty intrigued. Actually, I'm quite a curious person. So if people pop back up in my life, I'm always like, this is interesting. Let's at least hear them out and see what they have to say. So I definitely thought, well, this is unusual. But yeah, I told him, you know, oh, I've thought about you a lot over the past few years at different points, because he would kind of like pop into my mind when certain things would prompt me. Like when we used to talk about theatre quite a lot. So, you know, if I was going to the theatre to see something really interesting, like something unusual, like a one or two person play, I would always be thinking about him and think, oh, I wonder what he would think about this. So yeah, so I have been thinking about him as well.
So how did you find out that he was married? Did you have like suspicions? Because also, I guess if you're like chatting for 6 hours, I know obviously you're in separate countries, you're really far away, but did you kind of want to meet up? Is that some like, because if I was you, I'd be thinking of like, is this actually going to be anything?
Yeah. So the way that I found out that he was married was, I think either in the first or second call that we had, at the end of last year, he asked me like, oh, are you seeing anybody? And I was like, no, single. And it, like the conversation carried on and then I realized, oh, I didn't ask him back. And I thought, maybe that's something I should do. Like at the time I thought, oh, is he asking to gauge whether I'm available or was it just a polite question? And I thought, oh, well, it's polite anyway to ask the question in return. So I said, by the way, I realize I never asked you if you're seeing anyone. And he was like, there was a long pause. And then he went, well, actually I'm married, but it's not exactly that simple. And I was like, Okay.
Can you imagine?
My stomach would fall out of my arsehole. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, so he was
like that?
So that's how I found out, because I asked him outright. But I think he probably wouldn't have said anything if I hadn't have asked directly.
Mm. How did it feel then to hear that? Were you really shocked?
I was shocked, but it's going to sound horrible. Like, I'm not saying all men are dogs, hashtag not all men, but so many guys have like hit on me when they're already taken. So I was like, I think I did more of an internal eye roll than a, oh my God, what? So
yeah,
I was just like, right, okay. But he basically explained the situation. He was like, well, you know, it's not a loving marriage. Like, she doesn't love me. We live apart 8 months of the year, all of this. So he basically like told me this story of like their marriage just having disintegrated and become just really a marriage on paper. Like, he was basically saying, oh, you know, we're separated, you know, in everything but name. So yeah, he just basically was painting this portrait of an unhappy marriage. And I was like, okay. And in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, well, it's probably not a good idea to get involved with someone who's married. But on the other hand, my parents met when one of them was married to someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess also, I would say up to now, it has been a bit of like something out of like a film that has your mum. Do you know what I mean? It's like quite, oh, your mum met him. It's quite romantic. Then he like looked you up again. So I can see why you, and also I think because you're that bit removed, you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You've never seen him. I guess, you know, it's different if you maybe had met his wife or you've never seen that part of his. So I can understand that.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, he's a very, very smooth talker. So he's very charming and, you know, everything is kind of romanticized. And you're right, it was a lot like kind of living in my own personal rom-com until the whole, oh, I'm married part. Like, you don't really see that in your average, like, Richard Curtis film, do you? But yeah, it definitely was intoxicating, you know, talking to him. And I definitely would not have got involved if he'd said, oh, I'm married and he had said nothing else. But I think the fact that he told me, like, oh, you know, we don't live together, like, we don't see each other that much, it's not like a loving relationship, it's just sort of a functional marriage now. So I think that had something to do with it as well.
But did you ever feel guilty about his wife?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not soulless, so yes, I definitely did. But I would say, if someone had told me, oh, by the way, I'm married, and left it at that, there would have been no way I would have even continued talking to them. I'd have been like, right, nice knowing you, have a lovely life, goodbye. But I think the fact that he said, it's not really a marriage, we're basically married on paper, we don't even live together, we don't even live in the same country for 8 months of the year, you know, that kind of made a big difference for me morally. Because I think, I mean, of course, I suppose he could have been lying, but I didn't really think about that at the time. But I thought, okay, well, it's a bit different if somebody's, you know, married and they're still in a relationship. But if they're married, but it looks like they're heading for a separation. It's a little bit, I don't know, maybe that's wrong. Am I just like completely rationalizing it? But it felt different.
So you weren't worried that he was lying to you? Like you took his word for it. You trusted him.
Yeah, because I also at the time just thought of, I think I compared what he was saying against what was happening. So I just thought, you know, the regularity with which he's calling me and the fact that we're, you know, on the phone at like really weird times for him, I thought, yeah, you couldn't really be doing that. You couldn't be talking to somebody this much if you had a functional relationship, because, you know, you would have to be at home for some parts of the day at least.
Yeah, like the logistics.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, hang on, do the logistics back up what he's telling me?
And they did.
And they did.
So did you, I'm guessing you carried on.
Yeah.
Talking since.
Yeah, yeah. And actually it got, when it started off, it was a little bit less intense and it was kind of more on the friendship side of things. And then things really just started to kind of escalate and become more intense and like leading up to like spending literally the equivalent of a working day on the phone. But I think
having the phone sex.
Yeah, exactly.
The phone sex.
not something I had ever done before, because, you know, like a lot of self-respecting millennials, I actually hate talking on the phone in a burning passion. Interesting choice of words I've just realized I used there. But yeah. So he totally, now I don't really mind talking on the phone at all. But he really kind of changed that, because I just wasn't used to like people calling me out of the blue. I was like, how dare you call me without making an appointment? What? So that was all kind of a first, like just kind of getting used to chatting to people without being able to see them and read their body language. That's like a new thing for me. And then phone sex I'd never done before, because it feels like more intimate than sex IRL. I don't really know how to explain that.
No, it's so vulnerable, I think,
because it's all what you're saying, because you can't see them either. Like, you could say the one thing and now I'm putting my finger,
what are you doing?
You know what I mean? Like, it can really go from, you can crash pretty quick.
Yes, exactly. It's like whenever I'm sexting, actually it's not as bad with sexting.
Whenever I'm sexting, that's the quote.
I mean, that's not as bad because I can edit myself, so that's not so much of a problem. But I always just think, like with phone sex, I'm like, oh my God, I'm turning into a real life version of my dad wrote a porno and we cannot have this.
I think it's because it's kind of not necessarily performative, but it is in some ways a performance. And so I would be like, am I doing a good job of performing this? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So how did those like kind of more friendly conversations go from that to, I know you haven't kissed, but to phone sex?
Well, I think even when we first met, we were quite kind of flirty right away. So when we were texting, I think there was like a little bit of back and forth, but I mean, I have to confess, I am guilty of this all the time. Like whenever I'm having a conversation with somebody that I'm interested in, even if it's supposed to be just friendly, I'll find a way to like say something that has multiple layers of meaning and just see what happens. I'm always like, let's just throw in this slightly subtle but not really innuendo and see what they do with it. So it was probably my fault. So I probably said something a bit provocative and I think he picked up on it straight away. And then from that point, it was always quite flirtatious. So when we were texting, actually, it was probably when we were in New York that it was most kind of charged. And then when we started talking on the phone, that's when it actually became more emotionally involved.
Is there a lot of sexting then? I mean, I assume in a virtual relationship, it's 90% sexting.
Actually, surprisingly, it's less than 90%, which like I'm surprised about too, because like I think he's quite a sexual person. Not that I'm not, but he's very like, you know, he's dark, tall, dark, like literally tall, dark and handsome, like fuck me, but there we are. And he's very kind of smoldering and he's super charming and everything. And he's very passionate about his work and life and just, he's really an intellectually curious person. So he obviously has a lot of passion. So I'm kind of surprised that there isn't more sexting involved, but it's actually a lot less than 90%. Most of our time that we spend either texting or talking on the phone, most of it is not sexual. Most of it is just like banter, talking about our jobs, talking about the state of the world. And then actually a lot of the time when we're talking, it's probably like more romantic than sexual. Like he was asking me, you know, like, oh, have you checked into like whether you're allowed to fly to the States yet? Do you know what the travel restrictions are? Because like, I really want you to come and stay with me. Like, oh, you can stay for 3 months on a visitor's visa, can't you? So you should probably like not pack light, pack the opposite of light, pack heavy.
Do you ever worry about his wife like seeing any of the messages or like seeing like a picture of you on his phone?
So previously, I think I wrote in the piece that it's surprisingly non-illicit feeling for an illicit relationship because I don't know if I was going to say we have an implicit kind of understanding that he always calls me and not the other way around. I don't know if he actually knows that, but that's just what I assume is happening because, you know, so I wouldn't have to worry about calling and then having her find the phone ringing and be like, who is this? So he would always call me. And so I wasn't too worried about that. And then also the fact that they live apart, and I mean like really apart, like she lives abroad from him like 8 months out of the year. So I was like, well, I assume that most of the time there aren't any problems with that kind of thing either. But then like bit of a curveball, actually, since I wrote the piece, he told me he was getting a divorce and he's like moved out and got himself like a new apartment. So I don't worry about that at all now.
That's actually, it's worked out all right.
And when he told you he was getting divorced, did you have like kind of any guilt there? Did you feel like you might have been part of it? Or did you feel like you were saying before you were kind of very separate from the issues in their marriage?
That's interesting. That never even crossed my mind because I think if he had said, oh, I'm married and then not, well, this is in a universe that wouldn't exist because I wouldn't do this. But if he had just said, oh yeah, I'm married, is that fine? And I've been like, yeah, cool. And then later he'd said, oh, I'm getting divorced. I probably would have thought, hang on, did I have something to do with that? But because he said he painted it in this, he basically really, really painted a picture of someone who was really at the tail end of a marriage where it's just a formality and a separation is on the horizon. So, you know, when he told me like, oh, I'm getting a divorce, I think my first thought was, well, I think everybody saw that coming. So I didn't think I really had anything to do with it. I think if anything, I probably would say that I was more of a symptom than the disease in that case.
From what you've said, you know, there were already issues in the relationship before you met.
Yeah.
And when he asked you to go see him, like, are you considering that? Do you want to? Because I think you wrote in the piece something about right now it's almost a fantasy and acting on it, will that change things?
Yeah. So at the time, he first asked me if I would come and visit him, like in quite an offhand manner before lockdown. So at the time I was like, oh yeah, sure. But in my mind I was like, that's never going to happen because he's said it in an offhand way and I've replied in an offhand way because part of the excitement of this is the fantasy. And maybe we've both entered into this because we know it can never really be anything because we literally live, you know, on opposite sides of an ocean. And I think that does say something. I mean, sure, there are all these romantic stories of like, yeah, I had a long distance relationship with my partner and then we eventually found a way to be together. But I was like, this is not what this is. It didn't start that way. I don't really see any reason why it's looking like it would go that way. So at the time I thought, no, the fantasy is something that we both want. I mean, for him, he told me he was in an unhappy marriage. So someone, well, I'm not a psychologist, but to me, someone who's in that position, they don't want another relationship that could become messy and real and difficult. They want someone who is like an idealized version of themselves. And what better way to have that than to be with, or, you know, in a virtual relationship with someone that you can never actually physically touch.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, the fantasy is pretty real for him. And then I wrote about this in the piece a lot, but the fantasy was a big part of it for me as well, because I have trouble with emotional intimacy. So I much prefer, well, I've had enough therapy to understand that even though this is painful, it's an active choice I make to be with people who can't really hurt me because they can't really ever be fully present in my life.
Mm.
So I thought the fantasy is a big part of this for both of us. I'm clearly not really going to go. But then he started calling me more frequently and for longer, and it got really sort of like emotionally a lot more intense. And we were both talking about our sort of childhood damage and all that kind of lovely stuff that you don't tend to show people. And it just got a lot more emotionally heated than I was anticipating. And then he told me, you know, I'm getting a divorce, I've moved out, I have my own apartment. And he FaceTimed me and took me on a virtual tour, and he showed me his closet, and he was all like, look, I've cleared out half of the wardrobe so that you have space for your stuff when you come and visit. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's actually being serious about this. So yeah, I think after that point, it became more of a real possibility for both of us. And it's definitely something that I have, well, I've considered it strongly enough to put aside $2,000 in my bank account for a trip.
Okay. That sounds quite, yeah. So when you were back in New York, did you ever hook up, or was it always like non-physical?
Yeah, it was always non-physical. That's actually the most amusing part of all this to me, that it, like, we've never even kissed. So the whole thing is just an entirely sort of virtual situation. So yeah, that's part of what keeps me up at night, thinking, how am I this twisted over someone that I've like never even kissed?
Do you know what? I was just thinking how, oh, that must be so exciting and you must be gagging to do it. But actually, I think I'd be shitting myself because there's so much like expectation and pressure now. It's like, this has to be a really good snog.
Yes. Oh, like my that? God. Yeah, you're totally right. I'm like, oh God, if this ever comes to fruition, if, you know, the COVID travel restrictions ever get lifted, like, I really have to pull out my A+ game. Like, I haven't used that for like years.
I want to ask you something. It's quite like, I feel...
Oh, everybody brace themselves.
No, but you've been speaking for so long, and I feel like you're talking about this really logically, but do you love him?
Tricky. I think I could, but I don't think I do, if that makes sense.
But do you have kind of strong, you have a strong emotional connection, and obviously you do have an intimacy as well, because you're talking about deep shit.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was overanalyzing this with my friend the other day. We were both talking about it, and I was like, well, I've definitely caught feelings. I'm definitely infatuated. And we were both trying to work out. I mean, I think because I'm such an emotional person, I try to overcompensate by being overly rational about things that are emotional in nature. So I was literally like, okay, can we Google this? Like, scientifically, what is the distance in terms of emotional feeling and time between infatuation and love? Like, can we actually measure the distance between these two states? So yeah, I would say that I'm probably somewhere in the middle of those two.
Okay. Because the thing is, like, even if you're not with each other, the fact that you spend so much time talking, like, I couldn't help but form an emotional bond with someone like that.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely remember the point where it went from, because I very clearly remember thinking, oh, this is so fun and I really enjoy this. Like, every time we talk, it makes me happy. And I kind of, it's just like that little sparkle that wasn't in my life previously. And I remember thinking, okay, well, that's just, you know, fun and it's enjoyable. It's like lighthearted, sexy fun. Great. And then I remember there was like a tipping point where, you know, if he didn't call me for a few days, it would be like, it would literally feel like physical withdrawal. And I was like, okay, I'm definitely screwed at this point.
She's in the danger zone.
Exactly.
And I want to ask something else, but again, this one feels worse than the other one. Ever worry that he could be doing this with someone else?
Yes.
Is that something you thought about, and how would you feel if so?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible, because I just tend to think that, you know, people are typically consistent. You know, if you know enough about, I think that people are both complicated and not complicated. If you know enough about someone and their history, you can more or less predict what they're going to do, and you can understand why they act the way that they do. And I think the fact that, and he's told me previously that he has been unfaithful in past relationships, so I'm aware that that's a pattern for him. So I do kind of think, well, if it's this easy for him to strike something up with me, then he could definitely be doing that with someone else or multiple someone else's, you know, it's definitely possible.
And are you dating other people like in real life in England?
No, I okay. historically have, I've never dated anybody. I've never had a serious relationship. I had like a, you know, a little teenage relationship that was, you know, very sweet, but it didn't go beyond holding hands. So
that's
yeah,
my dream
historically. So yeah, historically I don't really date. So it's not something that I've ever done. And I've said that I've never been in love before. And I don't think I have, and I don't really think anyone has loved me either. So it's not, this is all very kind of new for me, even in the virtual realm.
Do you think you don't date though now as well because of him? Because you kind of know that you have someone, I guess, that you are interested in, so you're not going to go seeking out those things?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, because my dating activity was literally zero previously, It's not like I've cancelled my Hinge account, you know, or whatever, because he's in my life. I didn't have a Hinge account or any dating account before he popped up, but I definitely wouldn't be interested in seeing. And also, who's got the time? Like, my day job is quite demanding. I write on the side and we spend all this time talking. Like, who has the time or the stamina? Like, if he does in one regard, like, fair play, but I definitely don't.
But what about sex? Do you have people to shag here? I don't know why I've got this impression of you as a top shagger. I think it's because you wrote something about shagging and I was like, oh, she's always shagging.
Well, I'm very flattered by that impression and I will say nothing to disillusion you of that. No, I'm going to say something to disillusion you of that.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I had probably overactive sex life when I was in New York, and that's another story that I will write at some point. But yeah, I mean, I came back and then I had a thing with another friend, like a friends with benefits situation, which also didn't end very well. So I think I just, after that, I kind of cooled it off and I was like, I'm going to take a little like break for growth and all of that. So yeah, my dating pool has been looking, or my sex pool, actually, just to be blunt about it, my sex pool has been looking very shallow recently. So, yeah.
Oh, do you know what? With all that sexting, I'd be so horny. I'd be like, where can I put this?
You're the top shagger.
I'm not. Ask anyone I've shagged.
I'm sure that's not true.
So I guess just, I mean, are we going to have to do a part two on whatever happens?
Yes. Like,
happens next?
Does your mum still know you talk to him?
Oh yeah, she's like fully in support of me like moving out there and becoming his second wife.
Of course,
wife
she
or
is
whatever.
Stage mum.
I'm obsessed with your mum. She's pageant mum, but for your romantic relationships.
She really is. She thinks that I need a lot of help in that department, and she's probably not wrong. So she's like, you know what? I'm just going to take a very active role in managing this for you. And I'm like, great. Never asked you to, but thanks.
Thanks, mum.
So I guess to kind of wrap up this part one, what are your plans for the future?
Well, actually, you know what, this is sort of a positive note. I was actually thinking the other day, you know, if this all ends, because I had to reflect in the piece on like, how do you think this is going to end, like what's going to happen? And I obviously, my answer has kind of changed now, because at the time I was like, I don't know how it's going to end, but we're probably not going to meet up. And now I'm like, still don't know how it's going to end, but we might meet up. I've made plans that would make it possible for us to meet up. But I have been thinking, what if he changes his mind? What if he doesn't want me to come visit him? You know, what if he gets back together with his wife? What if he just decides he doesn't want to see me anymore? And regardless of the emotional fallout, you know, obviously, I think I got into this relationship as a way to do intimacy light, you know, a way to be intimate without putting myself at risk of getting hurt. But obviously, I've kind of screwed myself over there by opening up to this person and becoming emotionally attached. Like, well done you, like pat on the back. But even if there is pain and emotional fallout, I don't think that changes the value of a relationship. And I think it has at least taught me that the way I've been conducting my life has been not very fulfilling, and the whole no intimacy emotionally, or intimacy light just isn't working for me, and it is something that I want to have in my life. So, you know, it has taught me, regardless of all the circumstances around it, you know, besides, regardless of the fact that he's married and that this could end up really hurting me, it has taught me that I do want to restructure my life to make room for someone to love me and for me to be able to love someone. So I think that's quite a positive thing to learn, that, you know, pain is worth it and that I'm willing to take the risk to open myself up to emotional reward. So that's kind of positive, I hope.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That got me.
I feel like you should present this podcast.
Yeah,
instead
you're
of us.
So articulate.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I was so goodness. Nervous coming on here. I was like, what if I say something really stupid?
No, it's all.
I feel like we should hand our notice in, Paisley. Yeah, this is our last.
Laura, should we?
We're handing
go.
Over to you,
Tara. Oh.
Well, thank you so much. And I feel like you have to keep us updated. And yeah, maybe there's a part two in the future.
That would be really fun. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm always up for a part two.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, apart from being in total awe of Tara, best guest ever.
I know.
You're right.
Yeah, I was just having the 5 minutes to myself.
She was just so articulate. And that's why I had to ask if she loved him, because she was being so logical about it.
I know.
And I thought, God, I have no sense. I'm nonsense.
You're not. But you mean you'd let your emotions take over, yeah. And you wouldn't be so rational.
Yeah, and she was completely knows what she's doing.
She does. I also think, like, people think of people who have affairs as, like, just cold and heartless, but it's gone to show she's thought about it a lot, and I don't know, it's like it's not that simple, is it, in this scenario?
No, there's a lot of grey in this life, Paisley.
Oh, beautiful.
It's my favourite saying. And do you know what? I really am going to have a chat with Jan afterwards and try and make her more proactive in my dating life.
Oh, this is your mum.
Yes.
Got confused because we had a 5 minute bit where we were going to call the guest Jan as her fake name. So I was like, who are we talking about?
Yeah, gonna be like, come on, Jan.
Probably, but what, is Jan gonna be down Croydon Tesco's finding men for you? Like, this was a New York bar. Where's Jan hanging out?
Excuse me, don't shame my mother. She doesn't just hang out in Croydon Tesco's.
Where does she hang out?
I mean, she goes Nordic walking.
Oh, okay,
she might find a couple of middle-aged ramblers.
That's 100% your type.
It is, but yeah. Oh, I mean, mate, yeah. I haven't fully thought this through.
Okay.
As with
Sorry that
things.
I was so rude about Jan. It's just that from your social media, all you guys ever do is go and get luxury snacks from Tesco's. That's what I thought that was your whole relationship.
I'm ending the podcast.
Okay.
This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to Tara for joining us, and to you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on all the usual podcast apps.
Bye.
Hasta la vista.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.